Welcome back. And this particular episode will richly bless the ministers in God's vineyard. Pastor, this is like a minister's conference with the things you are saying. You gave three conditions before we took a break that makes a service acceptable before God. He said it must be his will, yes. It must be according to his will,
according to his will.
Which brought a revelatory grammar, if I'll call it that. By the second anointing, and then you said it must be in God's own time.
He must send you.
He must send you, yes.
He
okay.
Must
then
you.
Additionally, you said it must be at his own time.
And this appointed time, we talk about God, does not just happen and just say, hey, let me do it now. Hey, let me do it now. No.
Spontaneous. Or...
No. He has an agenda, and there is timing for everything.
Wow.
And until you catch this revelation, you will just be walking against God, or you'll be going on your own and thinking you are going with God. Now, even in the process of salvation, you see how Apostle Paul say, in due time.
Yes, sir.
I think Galatians chapter 4 or so.
Yeah, yes, sir. Galatians 4:4. Yeah. But when the fullness of time was come.
When the fullness of time, fullness appointed time. You see?
God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law.
You see? So there is the fullness of time. In due time, there's another scripture that spoke about due time.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 8. And last of all, it was seen of me also as of one born out of due time.
Thank you very much. You know, everything God does, we hear about the fullness of the Gentiles. He has the times of the Gentiles. Everything he does is timed. So after 2 days, he will restore us. All this, it works with time. So when it's time for God to use you, there is the appointed time. And when the appointed time comes, it's not you working it out. Moses knew that he was to be the deliverer of his people. Wow. He had that perfect revelation. When he tried to do it at his own time, did he succeed?
No, sir. He was rejected.
But at the appointed time, he even forgot about it. When you are thinking that you are too old now for it, I can imagine somebody over 80 years, now God is telling him, he had forgotten about his commission. And then, because unknown to him, there's a prophecy that said they will stay there for 400 years. They are not yet 400 years. Moses, you are coming to disturb them. And still had some more years. So you fail. But you are still the one he will use anyway. But you will have waited all the suffering you suffer. Imagine Moses would have been at the palace, enjoying all those next 40 years that he was there suffering. And then doing boy work for Jethro.
Yes, sir.
All that, he would have been in the palace with more kingdom. Then one day he will turn and look at Pharaoh. The God of my fathers have visited me and said, let him
go.
That's simple. If Moses had stayed waiting on God's time, not just because of revelation he got that he's going to be the
deliverer,
he would have just enjoyed himself in the palace and not go and do boy work in with the Jethro in the bush there. If you observe, you know, he had given up the hope for that ministry. He was getting old already. You also observe that because he went on his own, he went by his power. He went by the training that he had.
As a soldier.
Many of you go into the ministry by the academic qualification you have in a Bible school. By degree you think you have in a school of theology, you think that is what qualifies you. By your ability, intellectual ability, Moses went with his military ability. When he saw somebody molesting a Jew, he went and killed the person. Then he now went again when he saw the Jews fighting among themselves. He's now going to say, brethren, why are you people doing that to each other? What did he achieve? He did not achieve much with his might. He could just deliver one Israelite, one from the oppressor.
Yes, sir.
And did it even illegally.
Secretly also.
Secretly. Now, he needed followership. The people rejected him. Mm. Who made you rule up? Too much. Leave us alone. You know, the Jews are very stubborn. So you see it here. But when it was the appointed time, that is my emphasis.
Hallelujah.
You discover that God now told him, this is what you will go with. He said, Moses remembered his past experience. He asked him, they will not believe me. Mm-hmm. It was because of his past experience, they rejected him. If I tell them, they will ask me, okay, who sent you? You say, tell them I am that I am. Okay. They will ask for a sign. And they said, he told him what to do. If they will not believe the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the second sign. That is, he equipped him now. Now, this, I even told you what to do. When you go, say like this. Now, don't go fighting them. Go to the leader. He was specific. Go to Pharaoh. Tell him, let my people go. So, and this is, it applies to all ministries. When you wait for the appointed time, he will equip you. He will give you the wisdom. My ministry is an example. Let me be more practical. You know, I had a call right from the age of 13, 14 years old, 1973. The Lord spoke to me. He gave me this book, and I should follow him. In 1989, 1990, again, he kept repeating that. Ministry. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to use any revelation and then establish anything. But at the appointed time in 1998, at the appointed time, now before that appointed time, 1998, I was in a ministry that I set up by myself. And because that is not the one that God told me I would be into, that is the prison ministry. We saw how the thing was frustrated after some time. And I had given up the ministry like Moses. I was now pursuing my business. But at the appointed time, I was sharing with the ministers yesterday in the church my history of my call and how it culminated to what we are today, this Bride Assembly Church. You see, but at the appointed time, that is what I am coming into. You were asking me a question.
Yes, I was going to ask you, and thank God you're already talking about your prison outreach, because that's a case study for us on this particular issue. Can we just decide, you know, on our own, from our own free will, to just do a service for the Lord without him instructing us to? And will he accept such a service?
Now that will bring me to the types of call.
Types of call.
Yes. The types of call. Because everybody say, God call me, God call me, God call me. I want us to note that Satan also sends people. Because you must be sent. Satan also sends people. Okay. Satan has his minister. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read it also from verse 13.
From verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles
can
of Christ.
Can you see?
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers
Satan has ministers that do what?
Be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Now, how do we know? How do we know that this is sent by Satan? Satan is known by his characteristics, even as God is known by his characteristics. Satan will call you, use you as to fulfill his purpose. And what is his purpose? His purpose is to kill, to steal, and to destroy.
Oh my God.
And that is what you see in Matthew chapter 7. The Lord Jesus Christ was saying it from verse 15.
Matthew 7 from verse 15.
Yes.
It says, beware of false prophets.
Yes.
Which come to you in sheep's clothing.
Uh-huh.
But inwardly they are ravening wolves.
Oh, verse 15 again.
Beware of false prophets.
False ministers.
Which come to you in sheep's clothing.
They come as if they are Christians.
But
as
inwardly,
if God has called them. As if they are coming to lead people to heaven.
But inwardly they are ravening wolves.
Inwardly they are not converted. Inwardly is wickedness, evil. Yes.
Ye shall know them by their fruit.
How do you know them?
By their fruit.
It's by their fruit, not by vision.
Do men gather grapes of thorns?
Okay,
or
now.
Figs of thistles?
Okay, now.
Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit.
Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit.
But
character.
But the corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit.
Character.
A good tree cannot bring up evil fruit.
Okay.
Neither can a corrupt tree bring
forth
good
fruit. It's not possible. You're either good or you are bad. If you are bad, your origin is bad, all your character will be bad. If you are good, all your character will be good. There's nothing can change it.
Hmm.
You're who you are. Yes.
Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and
that is their
the
end.
Fire.
Hew them out of your ministry. Pastor, you are sure God call you. Be careful of the people you bring to walk with you. Hew them. Uproot them. For it is written, what my father has not planted shall be rooted. Planted where? In his kingdom. Stay there, be doing love, love. I love you, I love you. Forgive, forgive, forgive. You don't even know the meaning of forgiveness as a leader. Stay there and be patching things. Stay there and be allowing people who see, only a pastor, only an experienced pastor can counsel another pastor.
My.
Only an experienced pastor can counsel another pastor. Somebody who is not in your profession. A lecturer in the university, lecturer in the Department of Mechanical Engineering. Your car is spoiled. You will take it to him, Abi. You will take it to a mechanic on the road who has been servicing vehicles, practical. That one is a grammar, English lecture he does. He cannot fix your car for you, so don't go for advice there. When you are looking for somebody who will counsel you, mentor you in pastoral duty, look for another pastor that has experience. How do you do this? Just before I came to the studio, one of our pastors in Kano called me. I have this case, and I have handled several of such cases before. I said, brother, I know what you are talking. This is how I've handled it. He said, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's why I called you. That is how it should be.
Wow.
So that you will know. He said, what my father has not planted. If God did not send them to you, uproot them. If not, you are finished. I say this by passion because I was just off camera. I was telling our Isaka brother here that actually this topic is one of the topics that I had prepared for the ministers' conference. Because this is for ministers. Because they are the ones that say, God, call me, God, call me. So I wanted them to know, the different type of course so that you know who you are. Who you are and what you are doing. So that you'll understand why certain actions are taken in the church. There must be separation. There must be uprooting. If not, a little leaven, leaven the whole lump. Now, so Satan can also send someone. So you notice that in Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 13 to 16.
Jeremiah chapter 14.
Yes.
And verse 13 to 16. Okay. Then said I, Lord God, behold, the prophet say unto them, ye shall not see the sword.
Okay.
Neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you a short peace in this place.
Now, look at them. They are they are in captivity, and then a prophet is prophesying, you know, peace to them, when God has already told Jeremiah. So they were prophesying contrary to what Jeremiah, you know, has heard from God. They too, they are prophets, and they are saying, God told me to. God told me to. We know all those stories in the Bible. And so Jeremiah, honestly, and I say, this is different from what I heard. Yes. Read on again.
Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I
sent,
neither have I commanded them.
He, if he didn't send them, then somebody must have sent them.
Neither spake unto them.
Okay.
They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their hearts.
What are they prophesying?
A false vision and divination.
False vision and divination.
And a thing of naught, and the deceit of their hearts. Therefore, thus said the Lord concerning the prophet that prophesied my name, and I sent them
And not. I sent them not. There's a repercussion for it.
Yet they say sword and famine shall not be in this land.
Imagine that.
By sword and famine shall those prophets be
called. Okay.
And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast in the street of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, shall pour their wickedness upon them.
There is an effect for such. But my emphasis here is that you can see. And they fill the Christian church today all over the world, especially in Nigeria. It is well. It is well. Watch their next year, this year prophecy that they gave last year. While God was telling us that there was a pandemic coming up, they were saying next year, all is well. This will happen. I was even seeing one that was, I think somebody, so one of them in South Africa. One of those popular ones in South Africa. Next year, you will make it. Next year shall be greatness. Next year shall be establishment. Next year shall be this one. Next year, then the people, when danger is on the road coming. Sword of King Nebuchadnezzar coming to finish the land was on the way coming. Prophets are saying, you will enjoy the land. You will this one. You will this one. The reason is because he, God, didn't send them. They prophesy by divination. And the spirit of divination is demons that disguise and speaks like God is speaking. They impersonate the Holy Ghost. And that is what we see in Acts chapter 16. From verse 16.
Acts 16:16.
Yes.
And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination.
Possessed with what?
A spirit of divination.
Divination.
Met us, which brought our masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.
And before you go on, this type of spirit, full churches. Full churches. Even in bride assembly.
Sir?
Even in bride assembly. What are you saying, sir? What is here that Satan cannot come? He goeth to and fro, seeking who he will devour.
Wow.
That is why a pastor must have a measure of the spirit of discernment. To know which spirit is in oppression. If you don't have, he will smuggle his way and come there and say that it's operating gift. Like you be holding this gifted brother, gifted sister. Gifted brother, gifted sister, and be giving you lying divination. You know, this is how they give their prophecy. Let's read that verse 17 again.
The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.
Now, if you are a pastor and you are sure of your calling, and somebody is prophesying and saying that,
confirming your
call. Is it not confirming your call?
Yes, sir.
That means this person is from God.
From God.
You would throw the person near. But not Paul, verse 18.
And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved,
she did it many days,
turned and said to the Spirit, I command in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour.
Paul. Somebody is prophesying. That is why I told you, I said, it's not just the work you do that God looks at. He also looks at the spirit behind what you are doing. For that service to be acceptable. This is somebody who is prophesying correctly. He's prophesying correctly. But Paul by discernment, that's why we must have it. He saw the spirit that was prophesying. He saw it. Now, but why will Paul cast, was it because cast that spirit out? Was it because of what he's saying? No. He noticed, he was able to know the spirit behind it. Mm. Now, here now, at our own time now, how will you know?
Wow.
How will you know that this, now, in Acts chapter 19, Paul, we know the story.
Yes, sir.
He saw some believers that were coming. And what did he say? He asked them.
Have you received the Holy Ghost since
you? Can we read it from verse 1, Acts 19?
Acts 19 from verse 1.
Yes.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Uh-huh. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?
But they were disciples. Then what did he see? He must have seen something. Mm. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? If Paul were alive now, that would be the question he'll be asking all these Pentecostals everywhere he goes. Why? How will you say you have received the Holy Ghost? You are speaking in tongue. You are casting out spirits. But there's something that's supposed to go along with that. Mm. Why are you dressing like Nollywood or Hollywood stars? Why are you speaking in tongue and dressing naked? Why are you women there? Why are you wearing trousers? Why all these appearances, all these things you put on your head and your mouth and your ear and everything? You can't have the Holy Ghost and have that. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So that you'll understand that when he said, I didn't send them. Now, every gift that you operate, Satan can impersonate it, including casting out spirits. Every gift you see vision, Satan can impersonate. In fact, to start with, you are already a channel. That is why the Holy Ghost is manifesting. So Satan can also come with the same channel. That is why you must be very careful. You must be watchful. All of us that operate gift, especially this gift of utterance. Thus said the Lord, thus said the Lord. And you see, pastors that are looking for confirmation of their ministry through prophetic, through the gifts, to establish them, they are the ones that devil will send such people. It was happening in this ministry. Mm. People that want you to recognize them that they have gifts, they will be prophesying to Pastor Moses. Every service, thus said the Lord to my servant, I have called you. Thus said the Lord, I have called you. I will be with you. I will do this. They will be wasting your time for the next 30 minutes they are prophesying. Every time, hey, thus said the Lord, thus said the Lord. And I'm looking at them, you know, even without vision, no. Just common sense. Not discernment. Common sense. Thus said the Lord, thus said the Lord. Do I need you to be telling me that I'm called of God? Am I the only servant in this church? Mm. You will waste our time. Thus said the Lord. Thus said the Lord. Thus said the Lord. Thus said the Lord. Mm. Every time you are lifting Pastor Moses, lifting Pastor Moses, lifting Pastor Moses, until one day I came and rebuked all of them. People are hungry here. You are not seeing that they are hungry and you give them prophecy that will comfort them. People are in frustration. The gift of prophecy is to edify, is to comfort, is to exhort. Every time is the man of God you are prophesying to. Hey, if that's the type you have in your church, no gift yet, oh. Mm. That's not a gift, oh. Thus saith the Lord. It's a message from God. Yeah, you can comfort us. Every time. Thus said the Lord, I am with you. I am with you. I have come down. Is that prophecy? Didn't the Bible say where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there? Do I need prophecy to confirm that again? Until I begin to tell them that spirit, it doesn't go, it hides under table. you bow their head. And then after that, you won't see them manifest any other way. Now that may be a spirit of divination. That is why I took time to preach how to operate the gifts.
Yes, sir.
You can look for that sermon
and
listen to it. Now, I've not finished. Olumide.
Satanic ministers.
Those are the satanic ministers and those that prophesy by divination.
Sir, I want to pick out something you said from this. I was thinking, you know, anytime you say satanic ministers, the picture that is painted is this picture of aquatic men that become ministers. But you said here that Satan is known by his characteristics.
His characteristics.
So is it even possible for one to be a minister of Satan and he doesn't know?
I may not know it, yes. That is why we're exposing it. When he said, keep diligent to make your calling and election sure, how will you ensure? By watchful, being watchful. Now, not just him, but you that he's supposed to appearing to you and say he's a servant of God. So you also know who servant. So you know who you are following. Where will Satan lead you to? Okay, now, we're talking about those, the call.
Yes, sir. Types of call.
The types of call. Now, you can also send yourself. You can call yourself.
Are you mad?
About in three ways.
Okay.
You know, in three ways. One, there is the one that, you know, you appreciate God for the salvation. You appreciate God so much. You love God so much. And you want to do something for the advancement of the kingdom. So you go out. You begin to evangelize. You begin to, you know. Now, it's different from witnessing that every believer is supposed to go out and witness. You know. But you just feel like, then you begin to set up some structure. You know, before you know what, you already evangelist Moses Alu. Is that your call? You can call yourself into a service out of love for God. When you begin jam the problem associated with what you are doing, don't begin to blame God as if God is looking away from you. He didn't send you to it. You are the one that sent you.
So despite your good intention, it's still not acceptable.
It's
to God.
Not acceptable.
This is a hard saying.
That will be permissive will of God. Not the perfect will of God.
Wow.
Then there is the call that you come in because of hunger. You try market, it no work. You try school, it no work. You try to go and, business, whatever it is, it didn't work. Frustration everywhere. Then you decide, come on, if I have up to 100 people, if I can gather up to 100 people,
and
they are all paying tithe,
and offerings.
Tithe of about 10,000 every month, 10 times 100, that'll be how many?
1 million.
What are you saying? If I go and look for work, will I get this type of salary in the month? I beg you, Joe. After all, I can read, I can talk, I can this. We'll put ourselves together. I know what I will do. And then you use your own brain and your own structure. Out of hunger, you can call yourself. And also, out of ambition.
Out of ambition. Yes. That's the third one.
Yes. Yes. You want to be like others. You want to be like others. They are making it. They are making it. Me too, I will enter. I will make it. I will be like this. 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 Then you go and begin to set up something. Say, what are you doing? Say, I'm a servant of God. Put your collar there. And they are a servant of God.
Cleric.
You are your own. God didn't send you. Then there is another call.
This is the third one now, out of self-call.
Yes. It is in John chapter 1, verse 12 and verse 13. There's a statement there that we'll look at it.
John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13.
Yes.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them
that's where I am going. Even to them
that believe on his name.
Verse 13.
Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Now, you can see that there is the will of the flesh.
Yes, sir.
And there's the will of man.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you can see them all in what I've just explained now. Mm. Now, but which one is the will of man? Mm. Now, these are people that pastors
appoint.
In fact, employ. They are the branch pastors of denominations working for the headquarters. And many of them think they are working for God when they are actually working by He who appointed you. Mm. It is who appoints you, who that you serve. Mm. That's why many of you watching me now, you've been watching Brand Television, you've been hearing our sermons, you know it exposes the error that you are propagating in your ministry. But because you are employed there, you are
caged.
Now, will you say you are serving God, even though God is telling you preach like this, but your denomination say preach like this? You know now, you won't preach the way the Spirit of God tells you. You won't preach the way He gives you. You preach the way your headquarters says you.
The way you are instructed.
And if you don't do it, you know you will lose your job.
That's right.
Then when you ask, they say, I'm a man of God. You are not a man of God. You are a man of your denomination. You are there by the will of your pastor.
A man of the denomination.
You are a man of denomination, not a man of God. You're a man of your system. Mm. Some of you don't even understand that. There are two types of ordination. Mm. There is ordination by man, and there is ordination by God. Mm. And many of you that you know, you see when he said he that desires the office, so you see that you desire it. So you know you are the one that you are calling yourself. You desire it for those three purposes I have earlier, you know, mentioned.
Yes, sir.
Now, but now again, now you know there is the ordination by man, but you've forgotten that every ordination we see in the Bible was only a confirmation of the ordination by God.
Amen.
If you are not first ordained by God in the Spirit, every ordination by any man, whoever, however anointed
just
he is,
ceremony.
Is just ceremony. It has no effect with the kind of service that you offer that God will accept.
Wow.
Let's take very serious note of that.
Wow.
You know, and imagine that the story of David, 2 Samuel chapter 7.
Okay, 2 Samuel.
There is a setting there. Maybe I can use it to explain something.
Okay. That would be David and the temple?
Yes.
All right, sir. From verse what?
Read it from just two verses, verses 1 and 2.
And it came to pass,
yes,
when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains.
Go on, read on.
And
read
Nathan
on.
Said to the king, go, do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with thee.
What did he say?
Do all that is in thy heart.
Do all that is in thy heart. What did he say?
For the Lord is with thee. Yes, sir.
But now, notice something here. I want you to note, there are two things I want you to note here. First is David that wanted to.
It was his desire.
It was his desire. And secondly, subsequent part of that story, later on, David was going to go into it. But when Prophet Nathan went to sleep at night, God came and now told him.
Yes, sir.
Now, from what God told him, we now know that when the prophet spoke and said, go, the Lord is with thee, it was not God that spoke. It was the prophet that spoke.
It was man that spoke.
Can you see, you know, the complications in ministry work?
Wow.
You know, and that is the reason why I have even told the people, when you want to go and marry, stop going to a prophet to find out the will of God. Sometimes they will just tell you their mind. Sometimes they are just speaking faith. Go, and you will think it's prophecy. And let a prophet be careful. When somebody comes to inquire from you, that's why you say you're a prophet. Stop telling them your mind. Be careful the statements you make, because everything you say will be interpreted as thus saith the Lord.
Wow.
And be careful about the words you use. Stop putting God into it. Be humble enough to say, I've not heard from God, but you can go. It's a good thing to do. But I've not heard from God. Be humble enough. So now, if David had gone now to build a house unto the Lord, he would not have built it correctly. Mm. He wanted to build it properly. Because it was the prophet that said he should go. Mm. A man that said he should go. So many of you, that the pastor will call you, he will see one small grace ability he can use to further his cause and his kingdom, this denomination. Then he'll just see you. Maybe you speak a lot of grammar, you pray a lot. He'll just say, come, do you know that God, is, the Lord is telling me you are a planter of churches. He wants to use you to open his branch. If you're a planter of churches, then plant one and head it. Mm. Why do you people allow yourself to be bewitched by these people? They see the grace in you and then use it for their personal advancement of their personal kingdom. And then you are there, sincerely putting all your effort day and night, day and night. There are some of these branch pastors that are paid 20,000 naira in a month.
Wow.
Yes. There's one that called me somewhere from Edo. Somebody with family and everything. Full time. Go there, labor everywhere. All the tithe offering, all whatever is gotten there is sent to the headquarters. Then a man with children, in this time in Nigeria, is given 15,000 naira.
Oh.
20,000 naira. You know that is fraud. In fact, that is evil. In fact, that is wickedness. But it's not their fault. It's your fault. If God call you, he call you to go and do what you are doing there. Yes, you could have been the one among those to support that ministry, because that's what we call ministry materials that will support the vision. But the way they are treating you, can't you see that you are just just a tool for whatever. I don't know how they're able to achieve that. It's
indoctrination.
Yeah, no, it's true. That is the truth. So be careful.
Okay.
And that man sends you and you think it is God that is sending you.
Wow.
Be very, very careful. Mm. No matter what they use to scare you, wait on the Lord. Mm. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. If that man wants to be sincere with you, he will advise you to go. God wants to use you. Let me not cage you here. He will tell you and help you to establish your own. He should help you. Why not go to Sambisa Forest? There are people there who are not believers, and establish, you have a grace to go to establish ministry in Sambisa Forest. So you go there, then he sponsors you. And whatever you do there, it's just your, and this thing I'm telling you is what I believe and it's what I practice. I've ordained pastors in several, countries that I have visited. And we're cooperating ministers. And there are people that I have personally sent out of Pride Assembly that we saw the grace of God. Look at the brother in Akwanga. I desired that. Akwanga is my village in Nasarawa State. And I am here in Lagos. And I desire that this message will be in my village also. Because the truth is, you must start from Jerusalem. I'm not justified. And more so, if I have any reason to travel to my village and spend some days there, I don't have a place to worship. And so we did all the resources. We did everything. And the people, were gathering. So we come here, we see people, identify one who had the grace to pastor. And I had to call him now. But while I call him, I say, go pray over it.
Mm.
First, go pray over it. I will want you to go to Akwanga. You'll be more useful there with your grace than you are here.
Wow. But
pray over it. God may want you here for a different purpose. But even while you are praying, please, can you go there and temporarily stay there and hold them, because they are gathering, nobody to guard to watch over them. And he agreed. And he went temporarily there. So William Branham preached the evidence of a call.
Mm.
Now sometimes you hear it by a voice as you go, but what is the evidence that what you are doing, it was the voice of God, the evident fruit of the ministry? And when he got there, we see the fruit.
Mm.
In fact, the Akwanga Church is more vibrant than Lagos Church. Now, the emphasis I'm bringing here is that he's there, we support him. Whatever he needs, we send to him to enable him stand. We don't control anything he does there. We don't. He's on his own. But I'm praying for him so that he will not go off. Then I will not have church again. Because the purpose of doing all that effort was for my people who are in Akwanga and the catchment areas to also benefit from the grace that is of this message. Because the denominations have caged all of them there. And witches and wizards are controlling every family.
Mm.
No light. But when we went there, there's a light now in the town. And the gospel is moving on.
Hallelujah.
And the fire is on. And the
Amen.
Revival is on.
Amen.
And God is confirming. So that is evidence. He's not sending, in fact, he has never sent a shishi cupboard to me. It's only during my birthday, I think they contributed money. They contributed money and bought me a gift during one of my birthdays. Not even every birthday, now one like that. And up to now, if they have a need, they ask me, we help them.
Mm.
That is how it should be. I personally gave him a car to make things more comfortable for him. Pay his house rents. Pay his child school fees.
Wow.
And anything more he needs, we do that. That is how it should be.
Mm.
Not him, send him there and then tell him that, remember, quote the Bible, say, you are not, go with, don't carry post, don't carry anything. People are wicked. Then he goes down and sets up that. And so I try to make him know that it's not me he's serving, it's God he's serving. And if I go to the town, you know, if I go to town and I want to go worship with them, if I have to preach, I will have to beg him, can you allow me one service? I want to share something with your people. They are no more my people, they are not his people. He has collected them from me. And so he allows me. He invites me if he wishes to. He invites any minister. He has been inviting ministers all around. They come there, the minister there. And the work is going on there without recourse to us. That is how it should be. You know, I told you that this topic is actually for a ministerial conference. So that is why you see me stressing out for you to know how it is done, so that you will now know the error, you know, in the denomination. A lot of people you are serving are just family business.
Mm.
The man and his wife, known as daddy and mommy Jew. And they don't hide to tell you that the church belongs to them. And all of you are serving, and many of you are serving them and thinking you are serving God. Mm. But may God deliver you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Wow. Thank you so much, sir. I don't want us to come out of the picture you've painted about being a ministerial conference. So I'll just reserve my questions till
we get
another
to the
minister's
conference.
You know, for another time.
Yes.
Because I'm going to ask you now, because you focused on ministry.
Yes.
What about little things we do in the church, like sanitation and things that could be done in the church?
No. That's a good one. You know, we talk about acceptable
service.
Yes, acceptable service. Now, if you notice, I've been concentrating on leadership.
Yes, sir.
I've been concentrating on leadership.
Yes, sir.
Now, when it comes to conversion, after you are converted,
mm-hmm.
Now, it gives you the spirit of sonship.
Mm.
Now, you now relate with God as a child and a father relationship. You will see the things of God as your father's property.
Mm.
The church, wherever you are worshiping, you will not see it as the pastor that owned the place.
Yes, sir.
You will see it as your father. He's your father's servant. Mm. This is your father's property, vineyard. Domain, Amen. Vineyard. So it's expected that whatever you can do to make that place, you know, work, lively, you know, moving, you will do it.
Okay.
It is not leadership.
Okay.
And whatever else appointment that the pastor gives you within the church, within the church, and he does it by an ability he has identified in you. That is a different setting. Every member, because remember, we are joints and we must supply something.
All right.
So if you have a talent, you're a musician, you are to do it as unto the Lord. God blesses you with finances, you are doing it as unto the Lord. Because for the progress of the gospel, especially with this identification, you now know whether God is here or not. You can know whether God is here or it is somebody manipulating us for himself. But where you know God is, and of course, why will you make somebody your pastor and not believe in him? There must be something that makes you believe. If you don't believe in him any longer, you leave. So join the sanitation to keep the place clean.
Okay.
You know, join the coordinators, or what you call the ushers in some churches, to coordinate orderliness. Join it. Electricians, you know, maintenance departments.
Yes, sir.
medical.
Choir.
You know, the musicians, the IT department.
Security
create department. Create some time, security, to secure the property during services. And, you know, such... children department teachers, to take care of the children while the service is going on, and things like that. Make sure you don't remain redundant in your church. And every pastor should encourage people to offer. And I'm not talking of employing, I'm talking about people creating part of their time to give to the service of the Lord. From time to time, form yourselves into groups that you offer such services.
Okay.
Yeah. And it is well pleasing before God.
All right. Thanks for doing justice to that. Because people who are not in the leadership position will be wondering.
Yes.
The pastor is only talking to ministers today. What about this? What about that?
You know, this thing is very. Were you trying to ask me a question?
Yes. Do the services we render, do they draw us nearer to God, or do they make us more spiritual, if I could say so?
The service you render achieves two things. One, when God calls you, it is obedience. When he calls you and gives you an assignment,
yes, sir,
it is obedience.
Okay.
But one thing with God is that he does not call you, use you, and dumps you. There is a reward for it. So it calls for obedience, and it is opportunity for you to position yourself for a blessing from God.
Okay.
Then it is also a demonstration of the spirit of sonship. Because if this is your father, then you should take care of your father's property, unless you're a renegade son.
Amen.
Or you're a bastard. Amen. Without a father. But if you identify God as your father, then you relate with him as a son and a responsible son who will take care of his father's
vineyard.
It's expected that you will find joy in it. You find joy in it. So
when
you say, does it draw you closer to God? No, it is evidence that you are closer to God.
It is evidence.
Yes, that you are closer to God, because it is only those who are close to God that offer service to God.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so very much, sir.
And I hope you are not closing, because I still have one thing more to say.
Ah, please, sir.
That you must know you acceptable service, because scripture is just coming to my mind now in 1 Corinthians chapter 4.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 4.
Yes. Read the first two verses.
Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God.
Those of us who say, God call us. See, verse 2 is the condition.
Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
Faithful.
Yes, sir.
You see, Stay faithful to your call. Why do I say stay faithful to your call? It's very important. Acceptable service.
Mm.
Now, I think it's 1 Kings 13 or so. It's okay, we can read that. We know the story. A prophet was sent to a king.
Mm-hmm.
With specific instructions.
Wow.
When you go there, deliver your message. Don't drink water there. Don't eat anything offered to you. Don't take it. Even the way you enter the city, don't use it back. Take another way out.
Oh.
Before you know what, he took off. Exactly. He followed it. Listen, this is very, very important. I say this because of all of you that are rushing to be sons of the prophet. There are people that are coveting, recruiting people for them to father.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to father somebody that you did not give birth to? Why are you looking for children to adopt? You're advertising it. May God help us.
Amen.
You young prophet, listen. Stay within your call.
Mm.
Stay within your call. Every one of us, you were in one church or the other before. You were somewhere before you received that grace.
Mm.
You are the one to identify who you should follow.
Mm.
Don't go and follow fathers that are looking for children. You see, there's a pastor, you know, the truth is, it's through him I saw the end time message in 1989. And one day he invited a pastor friend of mine who came from Port Harcourt. He wanted to see him. So the pastor asked me to escort him there. And so I went there and he made a statement when the man said, I'm not alone. I came with Brother Alu. And he said, he looked at me and said, Brother Alu is supposed to be my son. He said, he's supposed to be my son. But he just be acting one kind, and then was like, we entered the office, and I said, excuse me, sir. They said, that was some years back. I said, sir, you made a statement that I am supposed to be your son. I said, by that statement, what you are saying is that I don't know who my father is.
Mm.
I had to tell him to his face. Although it's through him I saw the entire message. In fact, he baptized me.
Wow.
And I told him, no, but I have rebaptized. So. In fact, I even rebaptized in River Jordan. Okay. But it's not because there was anything wrong with his baptism. Mm-hmm. I mean, just tourism. I'm just, yes, it's just a lighter mood. Now, I told him, I said, you create the impression that, you know, I don't know my father. I know my father. You are not my father.
Yay.
And he was looking at me. So I had to tell him. And I gave him the instance when he stopped being my father. Because when I came out of the prison, I came to you and my spiritual life was dying. And I called all of you in the church. I said, you people are killing me. Because of what they were doing in the church then. So I had to leave and I looked for another pastor.
Wow.
On that day, you were no longer my father. Well, I'm only using that as an example. You see, there's something about the bride of Jesus Christ. There's something in our spiritual gene.
Mm.
Elect cannot be led by the nose.
Mm.
It's not easy to cage an ego.
Amen.
Don't allow yourself to be caged. We know too much to allow anybody to give us a wrong influence.
Mm.
When news go to that old prophet, see what happened to him. He didn't even come to church that day. He was sitting there at home. He jumped and sent for him. He ran to him, located him. This new younger prophet, when he invited him, come to my house, he said, no, the God that sent me, this is what he said he should do. This is what he said he should do. You know, he said, this is what he said he should do. This is what he should do. This is how he should do. He said, I too am a prophet. Didn't you hear about me? Not the word television. Don't you hear about me, this name? You have not heard this name?
The senior prophet.
The senior prophet. I've been the one prophesying all national issues. Some they come to pass. Some doesn't come to pass, but it doesn't matter. But you should know who I am. And the guy, he said, the Lord told me that you should follow me home. Faithful. Faithfulness. Be focused, brother. Then he said, he went there. And as he was eating, now the Spirit of God came. Because that first one is not him that sent him. And by the same man prophesied his end for disobeying.
Wow.
And the same man was the one that went to bury him. Those who are misleading you, after the effect, they are the ones that will bury you again. That is why, just 2 days ago, one of the prophets in this ministry, you know, some few years back, I felt he was doing nothing. He has no source of income, and God was using him in the ministry. I called him, I said, can we place you in an allowance, you know, so that can be of help to you, because you're not doing anything. And he said, no, sir. God told me I should not be on a regular allowance in the ministry. I said, God told you that? I said, ah, you need a lot of faith for that. And I began to tell him the effect. Make sure you, because there will be temptation. There will be this to prove this your voice that you had. 2 days ago, COVID-19 lockdown. Brother, how are you surviving? I had called him, I had asked him before, about a year earlier, what do you do now? How do you survive? And then he told me, he sells market, he sells this, the little he gets there, he takes care of himself. Now, but there's no business now. 2 days ago, brother, how are you surviving? You are married with a child. How do you survive this period? I said, please, maybe you should think again. That thing that you spoke that time, maybe that's achieved its purpose. Can we place you now on a regular allowance in the church? He sat down again and told me, sir, yes, things are difficult, but that thing that God told me, I don't want to disobey it. I know things are difficult. Sometimes I don't have food to eat.
Wow.
But sir, within that period, he has been providing for me in a very wonderful way. And began to give me testimonies of how God was providing for him. But this COVID-19, he understands. And sir, I will tell you, it's not easy. But sir, I will not disobey God. That is a minister. Old prophet like me could not convince him, like the sons of Rechabite.
Yes, sir.
So I want you to understand this, that is what is expected of every call. When you are sure God calls you, he leads you, he guides you.
Wow.
When he tells you, doctor, he would, you know, he'll face trial. Okay, he's not collecting money from the church. Now, it's not wrong. Those of us that are collecting allowance from the church, including me, the Bible permits us, it's where you walk, you eat. Nuzzle not the ox that tread the corn.
Amen.
He said that let him, the ministry is supposed to take care of us. And all of us, ministers in Brother Assembly, the church takes care of us. Pays our house rents. Pays our children's school fees. And give us allowance to maintain ourselves. And nothing wrong with it. But God can also come to you and say, don't do it for a purpose. And no matter what I tell him, no matter how influential I could be on his life, you must not compromise what God tells you to do. That's what I want to, you know, emphasize here.
Faithfulness.
If not, the older ministers will destroy you, the younger ones that are coming up, because you will not stay focused. Many of you don't know that these old ministers, God has finished now, packed them aside. That's why he's coming to you. Don't fail him. Don't fail him. Saul has packed Saul aside. He's not depending on David. You must be very, very careful, you know, to allow people to influence. That is the problem some of us have with these older end-time message pastors. You've deviated and God is looking for people that he will move the message forward. They are calling me all manner of names. Whether you like it or not, Saul, David has been anointed to take over.
Hallelujah.
No matter how you look for him to kill him, no matter what you say about David, Saul, God has finished with you. No matter what you say, Elisha, Gehazi, because you, materialism, leprous, God cannot use a leprous person in Israel. You have to find a replacement. You have to take note of that.
Amen.
And the purpose of this,
yes, sir,
you know, is to open our eyes to understand the condition of the church.
Wow.
You know, because a lot of us brag with the anointing, brag with the grace. When you see them playing with the anointing, playing with the grace, then what comes to my mind is Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 21.
And it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Now, see now, behold. Now, I want you to watch first. Let's go back to 18.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
Now, watch it. They are giving him testimony. Because he gave them, go and preach the gospel, cast out spirit. He gave them authority. And they came back. They're exercising. I mean, excited. They are jumping up and down. Then why would Jesus make this statement? He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Then he went to the next verse.
Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions.
Yes.
And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
I give you this power,
Notwithstanding.
Notwithstanding.
In this rejoice not.
Okay.
That the spirit has subject unto you. But
listen, this is not what excites us. This is not what establishes your sonship. That you are casting out spirit. That is why he said, not all that say, Lord, 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 Lord. Even though you will come and say in your name, I cast out. He said, I didn't know you. What gives us the faith? What gives us the faith is the establishment of your sonship.
Amen.
Because Satan had more anointing than you. That's the meaning. He had the same grace that you are, more than you, more than. But see where he is today. That's the meaning of that statement. So you don't rejoice in the anointing that you have.
Amen.
That's not the reason. What gives us joy is the establishment of your sonship. For if you have not the spirit of Christ, you are none of his. The hope of rapture is not the anointing you have. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Therefore, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. How do you ensure it? If he calls you, he justifies you. When he justifies you, he will glorify you.
Amen.
By the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We have to take note of that. It's very important that we stress these things Because leaders of Israel, the leaders of Israel have several rebuked by God. They were called by God, but see how they ended up. Now, there is the call for service and there's the call for salvation. That's why in the Bible, there are scriptures that can make you wise unto salvation. And there are some scriptures that have no salvation virtue. Be careful which scriptures you are holding onto. Then there are voices that are everywhere. Be careful which voice you are hearing.
Amen.
Is it a scriptural voice or an uncertain sound? William Branham preached the sermon, the uncertain sound. There is also the seed of discrepancy. Which seed are you? Because we are born again by the incorruptible seed
of the word of God.
Of the word of God.
Amen.
But this seed, there is also another seed of discrepancy. It's not every seed. The people that come to church that are born by the seed of the word. That is why he said that he that is born of God does not commit sin. That is, you don't have pleasure in committing sin. Why? He said, because the seed remained in him. Which seed? You were not born again by the will of man. You are born again by the will of God. And you are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. That word is in you. It guides you. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. The word of God in you is sharper than two-edged sword. You know, the word, the power in the word. The word that Jesus Christ spoke, they are spirit and they are life. When that word strikes you, that is what produces the conversion. But there are words that you hear that does not affect you, your conversion. You are hearing voice. God is using you, passing through you, and does not convert you. You may be a borrowed vessel like that animal that God used to speak to Balaam. So what type of call are you? We see, let me give them some scripture. Those of them who want to read. We will not read them because our time is long gone. I mean, the estate of the children of Israel, how God was addressing them. Just give you a few scriptures. Just write them down and read them on your own. Jeremiah chapter 27 and verse 16.
Okay.
Jeremiah 27 verse 16.
Okay.
Ezekiel chapter 13 verse 19.
Ezekiel 13, 19.
Okay. Ezekiel 13, 19. Now, 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 18, where we just read, because they need to read it.
Yeah, 1 Kings chapter 13.
And verse 18.
Verse 18.
Actually, read it from verse 1 to verse 18.
Okay.
To get the proper picture.
Yes, sir.
Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 28.
Ezekiel 22, verse 28.
Okay. Ezekiel 22, verse 28. And finally, Micah chapter 2, verse 11.
Micah 2:11.
Now, that was the people that God placed in position of leadership and how God was addressing them for the things that they were doing. And this is still happening in the Church of Jesus Christ today. And always remember, you know, that every one of us will stand before God and give account of ourselves. You give account of what you did in the position he placed you. In the call, you say he called you. In the way you serve him. That is why Romans chapter 12, yes, verse sir. 2.
Romans will
emphasize this
12,
again.
Verse 2.
Yes.
And be not conformed to this world,
yes,
but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable.
See,
and
he say, renew your mind.
Yes,
renew
sir.
Your mind. There is room for repentance, for rearrangement, for rethinking, repositioning yourself, reassessment of your life. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Anything short of God's perfection. He said, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Anything beyond perfection, move on to perfection, will not be acceptable before God. So that you will not miss your crown after the rapture.
Amen.
You will not miss your crown.
Amen.
And end up some even in hell.
Wow. round of applause for our wonderful pastor that's done justice to this. This is a message especially to ministers of the gospel, those that the Lord has placed in leadership position,
and those who want to, those who want to serve God,
leadership position in the church rather, and those who want to serve God. Thank you very much, sir. And thanks to all the sponsors of the Bright TV. Because of you, we are on air. May the Lord bless you and multiply the seeds you have sown. Whether the pastor blesses you not now or not, just know you are forever blessed by God. Okay, God bless you. Until we meet again, shalom to the bride of Christ.
Thank you.